بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. We carry on with our study of important lessons for every Muslim. And in the previous lesson, we went through the tafsir of Surah Al-Zalzala and Surah Al-Adiyat, both from Juz Amma, the 30th Juz of the Qur'an. And in this lesson, we come to the tafsir of Surah Al-Qari'ah. And Surah Al-Qari'ah, it is a Meccan surah containing 11 ayat. And in this surah, in this passage of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the day of resurrection and what will happen to the people on the day of resurrection and what will happen to the actions of the people on the day of resurrection. So this ayah, it mentions two main things: the people and the actions of the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He began this noble surah by mentioning a name from the names of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And it is Al-Qari'ah. So Al-Qari'ah, it is a name from the names of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Like Al-Haqqah and Al-Tammah, other names. Al-Qari'ah is also named from the names of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this word Al-Qari'ah, it comes from the three root letters Qaf, Ra, and Ayn. And these three letters Qaf, Ra, and Ayn, they are used to symbolize somebody being hit or severely beaten or knocked down or somebody being in trouble. And this is how Qaf, Ra, Ayn is used. Like a hazima, somebody who has been beaten up or knocked down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this word Al-Qari'ah for Yawm al-Qiyamah to show the state of the people. That on that day, the state of the people will be like this. Somebody who has been beaten or knocked down and he doesn't know where he is going or what he is doing, and he feels this being restricted, then this is how people will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. For this reason, he called it Al-Qari'ah. And then in order to draw attention to this day, he said, Mal Qari'ah? What is Al-Qari'ah? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ Mal Qari'ah? And what will make you know and understand what is Al-Qari'ah? And this is from the usloob of the Qur'an. The usloob of the Qur'an is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions something, and then to emphasize its importance, He mentions it again, mal qari'ah, and then to further emphasize its importance, He mentions it once again. He says, wa ma adraka mal qari'ah, and what will make you know, understand what is al-qari'ah? What will make you understand what is al-qari'ah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He answers this question. Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, Wa Ma Adraka Mal-Qari'ah. What will make you understand what is Al-Qari'ah? In the next ayah, He answers the question. And this is a type of tafsir. It is tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. It is the Qur'an explaining the Qur'an. So when we want to make tafsir of the Qur'an, the first step that we take is tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. We use other ayats of the Qur'an to make tafsir of an ayah of the Qur'an. And then the next step is tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Hadith. We use the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make tafsir of the Quran and so on and so forth. So if somebody asks you, what is the meaning of Al-Qari'ah? You say, the meaning of Al-Qari'ah is, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He asked this question, what is Al-Qari'ah? And then He answered the question. So He made tafsir of His own words. He said, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. That it will be that day, Al-Qari'ah, it refers to that day in which the people will be like scattered moths. Moths, that small thing that flies, scattered moths, this is Al-Qari'ah, the day when the people will be like this. Meaning that they will be spread out and divided and all in his own place, and not knowing where they are going. Like for example, when a person squashes a moth, and for a short while it's dazed, it doesn't know where it's going. Like this, this is how the people will be on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the state of the people. We mentioned that Surah Al-Qari'ah, it talks about people and the actions of the people. Creation and the actions of creation. Allah is now speaking about the people and creation. What is Al-Qari'ah? He said, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. Al-Qari'ah refers to that day, meaning يوم القيامة, when people will be like scattered moths. I.e. a moth which you have just squashed, and that dizziness, that daze that it has, and it doesn't know where it's going, it's not in control of itself. This is how people will be on يوم القيامة. We ask Allah for safety. And then he said, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. And as for the mountains, then they will be like الْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. And الْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, when it is translated into English, the meaning of it is carded wool. This is what is found in the Quran. Carded wool, if you take wool, you'll see that it is fluffy and round. And then when a very sharp comb is passed over the wool, then it becomes thin and spread out and very fine. So it isn't no longer this soft ball of wool, but it has been squashed and spread out like a person running, for example, a metal comb over the wool, and therefore it has become very flat and tight. And this is the meaning of al-ihn al-manfush, carded wool. Meaning the mountains which were at one time strong and could not be moved, because of Yawm al-Qiyamah and the severity of Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will become like wool, meaning nothing. And not only wool which keeps its shape, but wool which has been absolutely flattened. And then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the actions of the people. He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. As for that person whose scales become heavy. And in this ayah is an evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place مَوَازِينُ الْقِسْطِ. He will place scales of justice by which the actions and the people will be weighed. And we believe that these mawazin al-qist, these scales of justice, are real scales of justice. Walahu kaffatan. And the scales of justice have two plates. One to weigh the good deeds and one to weigh the bad deeds. And we don't say that this is something which is metaphorical or symbolic. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He will send down mawazin al-qist, then we believe that He will send them down. How He will send them down and how they will measure the deeds of the people, this is ilmul ghayb. But we have to affirm ala zahirihi, according to its apparent meaning, that this mizan, it will be real. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. That person whose scales become heavy, meaning the good deeds, they greatly outweigh the bad deeds. So this person, he has some bad deeds, But the good deeds he did were so much more that the plate which is weighing the good deeds becomes heavy, and the plate which weighs the bad deeds, it will become light. Allah said, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. Then that person, he will be in a pleasurable life, a good abode, meaning Al-Jannah. And this person, notice, he had bad deeds with him. However, his good deeds outnumbered his bad deeds. And this is from Iman. From the Iman of a person and from the Taqwa of a person, is that a person does good deeds because he knows he has bad deeds. He knows he has bad deeds. He knows he is sinning. But he increases in his good deeds to outweigh the bad deeds. And at the time of the Salaf, this is how they would know a person of Sunnah from the person of innovation. They would say that if we have a man and his good deeds outweighs his bad deeds, then he is a person of the Sunnah. And if we have a person whose bad deeds and his call to evil and innovation, it outweighs his good deeds, then he is a person from the people of innovation. And then Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. And as for that person whose scales are light, meaning the plate which weighs the good deeds, it is very light. And the plate which weighs the bad deeds, it is very heavy. Allah says, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. أُمُّهُ أي دَارُهُ, meaning his abode. The meaning of أُمُّهُ is دَارُهُ, meaning his abode. It is هَاوِيَةٌ. And Hawiya is a name from the names of the fire. Jahannam An-Nar, also from the names of the fire, is Hawiya. And the meaning of Hawiya in the Arabic language is Hufratun Ghamidatun Ba'idatul Qirar. It is a very, very deep pit. This is the meaning of Hawiya in the Arabic language. And for this reason, some of the Mufassirun, they said Hawiya, meaning the bottom the bottom pit of Jahannam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explains the meaning of Hawiya. He said, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ. What will make you know what is it? He said, نَارٌ حَامِيَ. A fire which is very severe. So in this ayah, or in this surah, Surah Al-Qari'ah, we have a mention of a name of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and it is Al-Qari'ah, and also mention of the state of the people, how they will be in the state of the mountains, that the people will be dazed in confusion like scattered moths, and these strong mountains that we see will be nothing like flattened wool. And also we have a mention of the actions of the people. So those whose good actions outweigh their bad actions after Tawheed and Iman, then Allah will enter them into Jannah by His mercy. And as for those people whose evil deeds outweigh any good that they did, then they will enter the fire, na'udhu billah. After this, we come to the next surah, which is Surah At-Takathur. Al-Hakum At-Takathur. And this is also Surah Makkiyah, and it contains 8 ayat. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds the people who have forgotten about the Akhirah and forgotten about Allah. Meaning, they're chasing after the dunya, and their worldly ambitions has made them forget about the true purpose and the true objective of insan, the true reason why he was created. Allah begins this noble surah by mentioning and describing the state of the people. How true is this description? He said, Al-Hakum At-Takathur. Al-Hakum At-Takathur. At-Takathur, it means competing with each other. At-Takathur meaning competing with each other over the dunya. Notice in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't say al-kathra, that having a lot, meaning somebody having a lot of wealth. He said competing with each other, al-hakum. It has distracted you. It has made you forget. It has made you become negligent of the akhirah. At-takathur, meaning I live in a house and I have a stable roof and I eat from good food and I am safe and warm, but this isn't enough for me. My neighbor who has a 4-bedroom house, I have to compete with him. Even though I have a nice, clean, safe, warm, secure house in which there is no complaint and no fear, but because my neighbor, my friend, my brother, my cousin has such a house or such a car or such a job, then I have to compete with him. And as long as we are competing with others over the dunya, then we will never be, it will never be enough for us. And the ulama, they say that two types of people never fill up. Two types of people, it is never sufficient for them. Talib al-dunya and talib al-ilm. The talib al-dunya, the one who seeks out the dunya and he wants the dunya, the more he has, the more that is given to him, the more he wants, more and more. And it is never enough for him. It is never sufficient for him. And also the talib al-ilm. The talib al-ilm who really has an ambition in seeking knowledge, the more he learns, the more he wants to learn. The more he learns, the more hungry he feels for knowledge. So these two people, لا يشبعان. These two types of people, they will never suffice. They will never have enough. The one who wants the dunya and the one who wants knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لو كان لابن آدم واديا من ذهب لابتغى واديين. That if the son of Adam, if a human being, if he had one full valley of gold, a valley full of gold, then he would still want a second valley of gold. And he said, وَلَنْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ. But the reality is that at the end of the day, the only thing which will fill his mouth is the soil of the earth. Meaning, the person who has one valley of gold, or two valleys of gold, or no valleys of gold, or 10 valleys of gold, all of them, they meet the same fate. And that is, they go into the same ground. It is the same soil which fills their mouth. So the talib al-dunya, the one who seeks out the dunya, and he competes with others regarding the dunya, he will never be sufficed. It will never be sufficient for him. Some of the salaf, they used to say that chasing after the dunya is like drinking seawater. As you know, seawater, it is salty. The more you drink, the more thirsty you become. Why? Because it is salty. So you drink more of the water to quench your thirst, but because it is salty, then you require more and more and more, and your thirst only gets worse. And this is like the dunya. A Muslim, Islam, it does not forbid us from having something from the dunya. And Allah said, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Do not forget your portion from the dunya. Yes, we live for the akhirah, we worship Allah, but we also have a responsibility towards ourselves, towards our families. We have a share of this dunya that we have to earn. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he advised Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, and he said, إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ. Verily yourself, it has a right over you. وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ. And also, your family have a right over you. وَإِنَّ لِدِينِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ. And also, the religion has a right upon you. اِعْتِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ. So fulfill the right of every single thing. So Islam doesn't require from us or request from us that we have to be poor, and we have to wear bad clothes, and we have to be uneducated. This isn't the meaning of these ayat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Al-yad al-ulya khayrun min al-yad as-sufla." The hand which is higher is better than the hand which is lower. Meaning the hand which is educated is better than the hand which is ignorant. The hand which gives is better than the hand which asks. The hand which is independent is better than the hand which is dependent and needy of other people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Khayrun nas anfa'uhum linnas." The best of the people are those who are most beneficial to other people. Beneficial in every single sense. Beneficial in the religion and also beneficial in the dunya. So Islam does not require from us that as a Muslim you have to live poor and you don't have anything from the dunya and you divorce yourself from the dunya and you've lived like a monk, like the Christians' monks live. Islam does not require this from us. In fact, when it comes to giving in charity, notice in the Quran, Allah says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, that the mu'minun, from some of that which they have been given, some of their wealth they give in the way of Allah. Allah did not say, وَمَا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, whatever we have given them, they give in the way of Allah. He didn't say, وَمَا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. He said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. مِنْ التَّبْعِيضِيَّةِ. Meaning, some of the wealth which we have provided for them, some of this they give for charity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not require from us that we have to give all of our wealth for charity and all of our time for the religion. But every right which we have upon us, the dunya has a right upon us, our family have a right upon us, our own selves have a right upon us, our akhirah has a right upon us. The believer who is successful is the one who gives every single right its fair portion and share. But at-takathur, competing with each other, this is what al-haakum. This has caused you to be distracted and negligent of the hereafter. Al-haakum at-takathur. Allah says, حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. Until you visit the graveyards. Meaning, until a person enters into the grave. When a person enters into the grave, meaning he dies, then he will know that all of this which I was chasing and competing with my friends, all of this, it was not worth anything at all. So there are two types of competitions which Allah mentions in the Quran. Two types of competitions. One competition He praises, and one competition He dispraises and rebukes. As for the competition which He rebukes and dispraises, it is this. Competing with each other over the dunya. Al-haakum at-takathur. This competing over the dunya and wanting more and more than your friend, more than your family, this is what is rebuked. As for the competition which is praised, Allah said, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. That in that, meaning in the righteous deeds, in salihat, in ta'a, let them compete with each other. Compete with each other. Compete with each other in coming to the front row. Compete with each other in memorizing the Quran. Compete with each other in memorizing the sunnah, giving in charity, so on and so forth. Allah says, حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. Until you visit the graves, meaning until you die. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then you will know, surely then you will know. The wealth of a person's property, what is it? When we say mal, property, what is property? Property, wealth, it is only what you are wearing and what you have eaten. This is what you own. Anything else which you have in your bank balance, for example, which you haven't used, then it isn't your property. This is the property of those who will inherit from you. Meaning, when a person dies, this wealth which you gathered in your bank account, will it come to you? Will it follow you? Is it given to you? No. It is now the right of those people who inherit from you. And you don't even have a choice. If you said, for example, I have £10,000, I want to give my son £9,000, I want to give my daughter £1,000. This is rejected. It is the laws of the Sharia which tell you no, from this £10,000, this is going here, this is going here, and this is going here. You have no right over your wealth. So your mal, your wealth, your property is only that which you eat and that which you wear. Everything besides this, it is the property of other people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned this in a hadith in Sahih Muslim. The companion Abdullah ibn Shakhir radiyallahu anhu, he says, "Intahaytu ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa huwa yaqul." I reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, "Alhaakum at-takathur." Competing with each other has distracted you. Yaqul ibn Adam, the son of Adam, he says, "Mali mali," my wealth, my property, my belongings. And it is said to him, "Hallaka min malika illa ma akalta fa afnayt." What is your wealth? Your wealth is only that which you have eaten, and therefore it has finished. "Oh labista fa ablayt." Oh, that which you bought your clothing with, and it has now gone. "Oh tasaddaqta fa amdayt." And that which you gave in charity, and therefore it has also gone. This is your wealth. Everything else besides this, it is what you leave behind for other people. And when Allah said, "Kalla sawfa ta'lamuna thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun," this is a warning after a warning. Wa'idun ba'da wa'id. "Kalla sawfa ta'lamun thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun." Surely you will know, first warning. Second warning, and again, surely you will know. And some of the ulama, they mentioned, "Kalla sawfa ta'lamun," ya'ni al-kuffar. Surely you will know, meaning, oh disbelievers, you will know. "Thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun," ayyuhal mu'minun. And then, surely you will know, meaning, oh believers. Allah says, "Kalla law ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqeen." He said, only if you were certain about it, then you would not be distracted. If you had strong iman bil yawm al akhir, and if you had a strong tawheed, and you knew with yaqeen that which was going to occur in the hereafter, then you would not alhaakum at takathur. Then this competing, it would not distract you. Allah says, "La tarawun al jahim." Surely you will see al jahim. And Al-Jahim is from the names of the fire. He said, "Latarawunna." This noon, it is lit-ta'keed, for emphasis. Surely you will see the Jahim. Meaning there is no doubt in this. "Thumma latarawunnaha ayn al-yaqeen." And then you will realize it due to the certainty of seeing it. Ayn al-yaqeen, the certainty of seeing it. Your own sight, it will then give you certainty. "Thumma latus'alunna yawma idhin 'anil na'im." And then on that day, you'll be questioned about all of the blessings. Every single blessing you'll be questioned about. That 3-bedroom house, which was safe and warm and secure, but because of competing with your neighbor who had a 4-bedroom house, so you rejected this blessing, you'll be questioned about it. And Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, she says, "كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أكل التمر." That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he ate a single date, just a single date, أو شرب ماء, أو he drank water, كان يقول لأصحابه, then he would say to his companions, "هذا من النعيم الذي تسألون عنه." This is from the blessings which you will be questioned about. This is from the blessings. This is from the na'im which you will be questioned about. Allah said in the Quran, "Thumma latus'alunna yawma idhin 'anil na'im." On that day, you will be questioned about all of your blessings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he ate a date, then he would say to his companions, "This is the na'im which we will be questioned about." If he drank water, he would say to his companions, radiallahu anhum, "This is the blessing which we will be questioned about." So this ayah, it obligates upon us a shukr, meaning showing gratitude and thanks and appreciation to Allah for all of these blessings which He has given us. It warns us against at-takathur, competing with each other over the dunya. Rather, compete with each other over the akhirah. Also, this ayah, it mentions two types of yaqeen. In the Quran, yaqeen is mentioned on three levels. There are three types of yaqeen. The meaning of yaqeen is certainty. And yaqeen, certainty, means alladhi la shakka fi, something which does not have any doubt. So it is 100% true, without any doubt. This is al-yaqeen. Even though it is 100%, however, there are different strengths of yaqeen. So even that which is 100% yaqeen, even this has three different levels or three different strengths, three different levels of yaqeen. There is ilmul yaqeen, and aynul yaqeen, and haqqul yaqeen. And all of these three are mentioned in the Quran. Ilmul yaqeen and aynul yaqeen in this surah. Allah says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. And then he said, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ. And then there is a third one, and that is حَقُّ الْيَقِينَ. What is the difference between عِلْمُ الْيَقِينَ and عَيْنُ الْيَقِينَ and حَقُّ الْيَقِينَ? The ulama mention that عِلْمُ الْيَقِينَ is something which you are certain about because of your knowledge. You haven't seen this thing, but because of your knowledge of it, because so many other people are mentioning it, then you have absolute yaqeen that it exists. For example, the country Brazil, I'm assuming nobody here has been to Brazil. Do we know that it exists? We know it exists. Do we know with absolute yaqeen that it exists? Is there any doubt that this country exists? No, there is no doubt. Every single one of us knows that this country exists, even though we haven't been there. How do we know? Because what we studied and what people have told us, and so many people have mentioned, it is mutawatir. It is so many narrations, so many people have mentioned this, it's impossible for it to be a lie. So we have ilmul yaqeen. We have certainty in our knowledge, even though we've never been there or seen it or visited it, that it exists. This is ilmul yaqeen. And then you have aynul yaqeen. This is the yaqeen which is built upon you seeing something. So that country we knew because of the certainty of our knowledge, although we haven't seen it. But when I see something, now my yaqeen, it increases. How do you, for example, all of you, you know this table exists. It is here in front of me. And there's no doubt in your minds. Is it ilmul yaqeen or aynul yaqeen? It is aynul yaqeen. Why? Because you have physically seen it. But if you were standing outside the masjid and 50 people told you that there is a table here, you still have yaqeen, but this is ilmul yaqeen. And then the final level is haqqul yaqeen. And haqqul yaqeen is the certainty due to you touching or feeling or experiencing or entering or tasting something. And our Sheikh Ibrahim al-Rahili, hafidhullah, he always gives a beautiful example of honey, al-asal, honey. Somebody who has never seen honey or never tasted honey, he still knows with yaqeen that honey exists. Why? Because so many people will have told him that there's this type of honey and this is what it tastes like and this is where you can buy it from. So he knows with yaqeen that honey exists, asal. Then you have another person who, when he goes to the supermarket, he physically sees the jar of honey. His yaqeen is stronger than the yaqeen of the first person. Why? Because now he has physically seen it. He has aynul yaqeen. Then you have the third person who actually tastes the honey. So he knows what the honey tastes like. He knows the viscosity of the honey. And therefore he has haqqul yaqeen. And these are the different types of al-yaqeen. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.